Hi, this is Lilia with the Help Yourself podcast. And today I have got Louis Romeo with me, and we are going to be discussing how to stay on track when life demands that changes have to be made, and how what the structures that we can use and techniques and tips that we can use in order to help us maintain and sustain better choices and behaviours, and the support networks and systems that are already in place that we can click into. Hi, Louis. Thank you so much for taking the time out to chat to me.
It's an absolute pleasure. A pleasure. It's a pleasure to actually get to know you.
Thank you. And I was, when I've been talking about the changes, obviously, in my own journey right now with the Gerson therapy, and I'm mentoring somebody through it, somebody who's much younger than me and has suffered a lot more around, and is a very, very strong woman, but it's still very, very challenging. And I thought, you know, when we are looking to heal disease, whatever that disease, say, normally I work with people who have got stage 4 cancer or have been told they're incurable. So people that are in a state of fear and overwhelm, where changes have to be made if true healing has to happen.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that word, disease. Uh-huh. In the fellowships that I go to, we call it dis-ease.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's unease, isn't it? The body is in a real state of unease.
Changes are very, very painful emotionally for me. I'll only speak for myself, very, very painful.
Yeah. So can you talk to me, right? So, because basically what we're saying is there's things that you have to give up, the things that you have to sacrifice in order to be well, whether that's on an emotional, spiritual or physical, or all of these levels. So then it becomes, just for today, can I choose the things that will take me where I want to go rather than choose the things? So tell me how that works within the framework.
Right.
Framework, yes.
First and foremost, the only change that I can make is through emotional pain, usually very bad emotional pain, where I have to actually, Lilia, surrender. I have to give up the ghost. I cannot go on any further. My first addiction started at 8 years of age with sugar. And I medicated my mind because I came from an alcoholic home where I had to take charge in the home. But I don't know all this at 8. I only know this in the last 2 years. Through looking at what you talk about, ancestral pain, childhood trauma pain, but that sugar medicated my thinking, Lilia, so it could help me cope as an 8-year-old child trying to run an alcoholic home. Mm-hmm. But then what happens then? I'm then left with an addiction at 8 years of age. Mm-hmm. Then we'll fast forward to 14. As you know, we all try alcohol. Usually at that age, the kids will try it down the glen, or maybe we'll sneak it if our mother and fathers have got any left. Yeah, unfortunately, my father would never have any left because he drank a lot. But that's another story. So I knew there was something wrong with me, Lilia, but I didn't know what it was because I was only a child. I felt completely different from everyone, even my sisters and brothers. And I would look at them from a child's eyes and try and think, what is wrong with me? Now, when we're talking today, I may become quite emotional because it took me to 53, Lilia, to get to a place, and Heal Scotland has helped me so much because what it's done is it's opened my mind again. See, I can close my mind, Lilia, to things. I've got an illness that centres in my mind and tells me wee lies and says, you're not really addicted to sugar, alcohol or drugs or food or sex or gambling. And see, if I don't live within that framework that we're talking about, the 12-step program, then I can believe the lie, Lily. Mm-hmm. I can believe that. I can go into the co and look at a peanut candy bar and look and think, oh, and my mind will say, you know, it's only one. You know, you'll only have one. And see, if I believe that lie, I can get home and I can eat sugar until I'm intoxicated, like you would not believe. Right. And when I waken up the next morning, I have the same hangover that I had with cocaine and with alcohol. Wow. So it's all about change. But I've got to get to an emotional level of...
Can I ask you, sorry, just how many are in your family and where are you? Where's your place?
I'm the eldest. Uh-huh. And I have three siblings underneath me.
Right, okay.
Who are scarred as well, but not as bad as I am. And I don't know the reason for that. Mm-hmm. I believe, for me, I believe in vitro, that this happened in the womb. My father was very violent to my mother within the pregnancy. I believe that I was subjected to that within the womb. Mm-hmm. And then when I was born into a very toxic home, but they were only young, Lilia. They had no coping skills. They were only 18 and 19, a young boy and girl in the East End of Glasgow trying to...
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean, I'm thankful the day I don't have any judgment towards the two of them, because they done the best that they could do. They could only do what they had. So I believe all my maladjusted thinking started in vitro. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm out there when I think that. A lot of people don't like that, the idea. They'll say, oh, no. In my heart of hearts, I believe it started in vitro.
Well, Stanley's Ogroff says it's starting from the moment of conception. And even if you go back, if you believe in reincarnation, we've chosen.
Aye.
You know, that can be very painful, particularly a lot of trauma and abuse to believe that. But the upside of it, the other side of that, is that it takes out the victim.
Yes.
In a much more empowered place, painful and all as it is. I mean, I used to struggle. I would never have chosen my mum. My mum was the loveliest, amazing woman. But she tried to control me, well, because that's what mums do, right? So I rebelled. And it took me a long time to really see what was going on and to understand that, you know, we came here for reasons we don't understand, I believe. And that we're all here learning our life lessons.
Well, that's what John Miguel speaks about, isn't it?
And whether you believe that or not, for me, that was a framework that made sense, that took me out of being the victim and feeling sorry for myself when I had absolutely no reason to feel sorry for myself. I was always, always making sometimes not such great choices. But as soon as you realise it's all up to you, and you can't blame, complain and shame others anymore, then it actually does, it totally liberates you.
It totally liberates us and empowers us. Yeah. And the only way that I was able to get that process, Lilia, was through the 12-step program, because I lived in that victim mode that you talk about. Uh-huh. And living in that victim mode for me, that will allow me to medicate. Because I can say to you, I've never experienced my life. Mm-hmm. So I will use that experience, mm-hmm, and I will drink on that, or I will eat on that. I will take cocaine on that. I'll use anything, actually, that takes me away from that victim mentality. So today I don't have that victim mentality, thankfully. And I don't get caught up in the should have, would have, could have. I don't blame anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to feel empowered.
That's huge, not blaming. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that comes with that is the level of forgiveness. Forgiveness for yourself and forgiveness to our parents, who, as you say, were just absolutely blindly doing, and they were programmed the same way as we were. And, you know, Carolyn Mace said, I was spent 3 days in Findhorn with her years ago, and she first thing she said was, I don't want to hear anybody else blaming their parents. that day has, that ship has sailed. We now understand why we're the way we are. Now we're moving forward with that. So anybody that wanted to go into victimhood with her, she would just like take their legs off. She was like, no, no, no.
Well, I do that with sponsees that we help in the fellowship. And we have a process where we take you back to the past and your parents and things that happened in life. But what I have a great mentor. She's 80 years of age, Polly. But what she taught me was ask them about their mother and father first before you start the process. So we start, as you said, about the Gidlet Fintorn, we speak about the mother and father, but I can then take them into a place of forgiveness, Lavia, so they stop the judging and condemning of their parents.
So can you explain that process of sponsorship? Because this is something else that, from the Heal Scotland perspective, I've been thinking we need a support network. I cannot possibly, much as I would love to support everybody on a one-to-one basis, I can do my best in groups, but the amount of time, there's so many people needing help now. We need people helping people, and that's why the model from the AACNA is great. And if we can utilise it so that you have a dedicated person. So can you just explain the 12-step programme and the fellowship and how that works?
12-step programme works, obviously, when you attend meetings, CANA, OA. But there's so many now. There's some even that I don't even know what they mean. Uh-huh. They have used the model of the 12-step programme that Bill Wilson wrote in 1935 with other members. And it seems to be a very successful model. And it does work. So what it does is when we are taking through the 12-step program, one of the steps, we have to give back freely what we have been given. So when someone comes into the meeting, there's a part of the book that tells me we make the approach. So if I see a sister or brother coming into the fellowship in a state, emotionally, spiritually, physically, I will make the approach. And I will gently tell them what has happened in my journey.
Okay.
Usually because they have the same thinking as me. They understand where I'm coming from. And I will ask them, do you want me to take you through the program? Do you feel you're able to choose a sponsor? So what I do is I take them through the program the same way that I was shown. I think I've got 7 sponsees at the moment, so I know where they're coming from when people ask us to guide them, because it takes a lot of your time up. But for me, it also keeps me sober and clean, because that selfish, self-centred wee boy is no longer there, because I have to be selfless.
Yes.
So I always have to put another person first. But I believe in this network.
Yes.
I'm starting a new process on Sunday, which is not affiliated with any of the fellowships, but it looks at the workings of the book. Mm-hmm. And this is actually for sugar addiction for me. So I start this on Sunday. I'm really looking forward to it. Because that's one of the last addictions that I feel I'm not recovered in yet.
Right.
I feel I'm not recovered in that area yet. I'm recovered in alcoholism. I'm recovered in drug addiction. Sugar is a biggie. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because the other substances we can put down. So it's almost like a form of abstinence, isn't it?
Yes.
But we don't put down food.
Yeah.
And as you well know, being in this business, our food is full of substances. So we become addicted to food. I have a background in retail, Lily. I've told you, in Marks and Spencers and Waitrose. And all those processed foods, they are to die for. But we know the reason why they're to die for. Because they're full of additives that make the body physically crave them. Mm-hmm. And then their supermarket sales rocket. But fundamentally, they want to hook us onto sugar, salt, preservatives, whatever the hell they put in the food. So I'm doing a thing on Sunday, and that after I've been through that process, which takes 26 weeks, this group of people will then put me on a mentoring list. So therefore, when someone else wants to go through this program, they can look at the list and they can then contact me and say, Louis, do you have any spaces? Could you mentor this girl or boy for 26 weeks till they go through this process? And I would say, yes, I've got time, and I don't have time. But I usually always make time. I'm like you, Lily. I do, sometimes to the detriment of my own life, I always put people first. I believe in that. And it's good. It keeps me well. It really does.
Giving back, isn't it? We know from heart math that we actually get a lot more when we give. We know from Giver's Gain, we know from Business Networking, and we know from 12 Step, and we know from Lynn McTaggart's Community and Altruism Heals. And, you know, one of the big things about healing yourself is stop focusing on your own body. You're so self-absorbed, literally, that the body can't get any peace. Whereas when you distract yourself to something out with, to another human being, then your body gets the peace that it needs to repair itself.
As you said, Lily, it's at cellular level. Trauma that we infect our physicality, and it's mind-blowing for me. But this is a great thing with your movement, Heal Scotland, because it's making people think.
Mm-hmm. Good.
We need to think outside the box. Absolutely. There's lots of things that you and I disagree in. Mm-hmm. We know that. The great thing as well is I don't have to fall out with you because you maybe agree with that method that I don't agree with.
Yes.
We can come together with the common solutions that we know that work. We can use that community base that we speak about. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is help each other.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter if I don't really like Mr. Hill at the top of the street. If Mr. Hill needs help, I'll still go to Mr. Hill's door.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way we were brought up as well. So
Absolutely.
So there's that part that I feel is missing today.
And there's no one size fits all. You know, there's no one diet fits everyone. And no diet works if you can't do it, let's face it. And there is no one form of exercise. There's no, you know, I have a strong network of family, and I'm a big, I'm the oldest of six. So I have a huge network of very close friends just because of that, because, you know, and then I've got my own three children and all their friends. You've got a strong, and we live in a small community. So there's all different kinds of friends as well. So I'm used to a diversity of humans around me as well. And you know, being very kind of open to not to their behaviours, but to their souls, because you've known them your whole life. And I think that's a huge benefit in the country as opposed to the city, where people are a wee bit more superficial and maybe don't really know each other from the grassroots level. You know, we all here in our community, you went to the same cafe, went to the same pubs and the same restaurants, in inverted commas, the same schools. You know, we pretty much all had similar clothes. There wasn't the huge kind of class gap that you see in Glasgow where people are judged by their handbag and their shoes.
That was one of the reasons I left the West End of Glasgow, because it's just stuff, Lilia. It's just stuff. That Gucci bag means jack shit, excuse my French. It's not going to do anything for you, but I feel that's where we are today in society, that lots and lots of us, and I've done it in the past, please believe me, I have used external things to try and sort an internal problem.
Yeah.
And all they do is give me temporary relief and a massive credit card bill. That's it. But they don't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the now, I believe in this massive movement. I see a shift in people. And like you, I believe that we have to just get back to grassroots community. That is what's fundamentally wrong. We have bought into this superficial lie, this big lie. I mean, we're all in this roller coaster. But how do I get off the roller coaster? Because internally, my soul tells me this isn't right. And I don't want my soul to be heavy at 53 years of age.
Yes.
So what do I have to do to remain light? So for someone with my thinking, I have to use the framework of 12-step programs.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be selfless. I have to always be thinking of other people.
Mm-hmm.
I have to. So you can go through the steps, Lily, as you know, and you probably even maybe know someone. But what we have to do is, see, I can go through the steps, but am I working the steps within my life? See, there's a vast difference.
Oh, absolutely.
Vast, vast difference. So there's specific steps that really help me. So, for example, if I have, maybe you've said something on this podcast that maybe irks me slightly. So I know that that's a defect of my character because my mind then goes to judge and condemn you for that. But that's your business. That's not my business. That's your views. You're allowed your views. But my mind will say, she shouldn't be speaking about that in front of you. So that's called a step six. So my defects of character are recognised in step six. So all I have to do is the sacred pauses we speak about. Mm-hmm. And then I run past everything in my mind. That's Lilia's business. That's none of your business. You've been closed-minded when you think that. That's her opinion. She's free to have her opinion. We live in a democracy. And then in step seven, I ask my higher power to help me turn and do the opposite of my defect of character. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm.
So that's about, I would call that your buttons are getting pushed. Don't blame the person who's blaming pushing the button. Release the button.
Aye, look at me.
Yes.
Look at me. Aye. Bless them, change me. I have to change me.
Aye.
Aye.
That's, so, not, that's not very woke. What, you want to change them? Is that
yes. Yes, and I cannot go, I cannot buy into that.
No.
Because there's a part in the book, it speaks about the actor running the show. Mm-hmm. So I want to stand on that stage running the show. But for me, my higher power's the director, not me. So get off the stage, Lily, sit in the crowd and chill out. Their business is their business. Your business is your business. And if you can help anyone, just help and shut that up. So that framework helps me to do that. It helps me to live a very peaceful life. And without that, they call it in the fellowships almost dry, that you can put down substances without a physical program. And if I don't use the physical program, I revert back to old behaviours that I used as a child, Lily, to cope. Mm-hmm. And these are non-productive today because I'm no longer a child. I'm an adult at 53. I have to step out of that victim mode. Mm-hmm. But I did have to look at childhood trauma, ancestral trauma. And I have to use these mechanisms as well. Which is wonderful. I find it really, really exciting now. But the brain fascinates me. Absolutely fascinates me. And I think it's wonderful to feel awake.
Yes.
I feel many years ago I was asleep, Lilia, and I thought I was awake.
Absolutely.
I was not awake. Mm.
And it is exciting. I think the whole neuroscience and the gut bacteria, you know, it's a different perception of the body, which is empowering and exciting. So when you get to the stage that you're at, how long, if you don't mind me asking, have you been using that framework?
14 years.
14
Approximately
years.
14 years.
So when you come in, you choose a sponsor. Is that what you said? So you choose somebody that perhaps you feel attracted to, you resonate with.
Yes. Yes.
And they help you. And they help you work through and become acquainted with the method, the framework.
I was fortunate that I met a beautiful woman.
Right.
And she was so patient and loving with me. She probably wanted to annihilate me. Because I'm filled when I come in, full of grandiosity, but full of fear at the same time. Yeah. Chronic low self-esteem, a frightened wee boy. In an adult body. And this woman for the south side of Glasgow has to nurture me, has to love me, has to correct me, has to slap me now and again.
And so, just so that I'm clear, so then if you, when you're struggling at any point, you can call her. Is that the...
Day and night.
And do you get together and work through the steps?
Yes, we get together every week.
Right, so there's a weekly meeting. With that, you have somebody constantly there for you.
She was my go-to. So she's the person who takes me through the programme, but she's also my go-to because, as you know, when there's any change, Lilia, it's I'm barking when I'm going through a change because I still don't really know what's happening. So she really keeps me on an even keel. So she's practically there 24/7. I could have phoned her any time of the day and night.
How often did you phone her?
Well, she had to break that down because I am so self-reliant that I always think I can fix it. Mm-hmm. I can fix it. But when I look at it, I can't fix anything. Or why the hell am I in all these fellowships? You can't fix a damn thing, right? So shut up. Stop listening to your ego and lift the phone. Uh-huh. So that has took me a long time and I still struggle with that today, Lily. And I've got the most amazing spiritual father in America. And I struggle to pick the phone up to this man. And he's so loving and caring with me. Because I'm willful still. I have willful tendencies that I have to smash every day because Louis's mind tells him, Louis, you know what to do. So yes, we are supposed to pick up the phone to that person. And they really, really help you. And then they then send me, when they take me through the steps, they then send me out into the world. You're now ready to give freely back.
Right. So your sponsor decides when you're ready.
Yes.
And on average, how long would you expect that process to take?
I would say it maybe took me 6 months to go through the steps. I would say the recovery part of your mind is it's a school day every day.
Yeah, of course.
Every day is a school day.
So what I'm thinking and hearing is that probably some people phone a lot and some people don't phone enough.
I want someone to know who has experienced masses and masses of trauma that I can't even contemplate in my thinking, and they need a lot of support. But then I have other ones who are, it's like everything, Lily, you get quick pupils that have surrendered so badly and they know they need change and they skyrocket through the steps.
Aye. It's about timing.
Then you've got other people that dilly-dally through them. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's where they're meant to be. I think I've got 7.
That's a lot, is it not? Is that?
I've got 7, but I use an American method of sponsorship. So I do a lot of group work with them.
Ah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. But on the personal stuff, I do one-to-one with them. Uh-huh. Unless they want to share it in a group setting, that's entirely up to them. So I use this model, which has been so helpful, Lily, because it breaks down my time. I'm not panicking about my time so much.
Yes, yeah.
So we do a lot of things.
So for anybody watching this that might be thinking about going into the fellowship, you come in, somebody will approach you and support you. You then get to choose a sponsor, and then you will work around, say, 6 months to a year, and then you will start to give back to someone else by that time. And how many meetings would you expect somebody to go to when they're, or is that a personal thing? Does that vary too?
I would say that's personal. You will get a lot of people coming in with, I think it's like every organisation, isn't it? You'll get people coming in with things that come from, say, for example, rehabs that have nothing to do with the 12-step program. They'll come in and, for one as an example, 90 meetings in 90 days.
Yes.
There's no mention of that in 12-step program. That is something that's came from a rehab. So I don't believe in 90 meetings in 90 days, but if you want to do 90 meetings in 90 days, that's entirely up to you. A lot of people say, well, if I use for 90 days, I can do 90 days meetings. But I feel if you've recovered from it, I think you can get by in 3 meetings a week, which is our support network.
Yes, right. So, yeah, so that's a kind of average guiding.
And I've done a lot of work abroad as well, because... Not that you should put MD in a pedestal in the fellowship, because we're all the same. We're all God's kids. We're all the same human beings. There's no hierarchy in the fellowship, which is wonderful. But if you have a strong message of recovery, you're asked to share a lot. So I do share a lot in Canada, in America, France, predominantly mostly America. I'm sharing today in Jersey Shore. In America. So like you, Lily, I get asked to things that maybe a lot of people don't get asked to. So I'm very fortunate. The fellowship is very, very good to me in the sense that I can do service everywhere now because of Zoom.
Yeah.
So the positive from the negative of the lockdown has opened up my full world.
Yes.
Unbelievably.
And you're obviously, you're getting a lot of, what would it say, joy from helping others, but you're also getting a lot of inspiration from others. So that's the kind of perfect sandwich, really, isn't it?
And it funny, started off with a share I went to in Shawlands on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I heard a guy sharing, and I thought, that's American. It also sounds Glaswegian. So, you know, on Zoom, we can privately message the individual. So I messaged him and found out that his grandparents was from Newton Mearns. So then I started to become friendly with him, and then he introduced me to different meetings, different people. And suddenly, before I know it, just as we said there, my full world opened up. Mm-hmm. And I get to meet these people that I only usually heard on YouTube. In the fellowship, we have circuit speakers who are, all they are, Lily, is they're really good at speaking.
Yes.
They're fabulous at giving a message. So they're not paid by the fellowship by any means, but they are allowed to go worldwide and share the message of strength and hope. And I heard a guy 14 years ago from Brooklyn, and I'm very fortunate due to Zoom I was able to connect with him, and he now sponsors me. So I have an American sponsor, and your sponsor predominantly always stays with you, Lily. I never, after I'm through the program, I don't then say to Josie or Peter, oh, I don't need you now.
No.
They're always there to still mentor me and keep an eye on me. I can still reach out to them. So it's very, very powerful.
So that's great. That's answered a lot of my questions. And then I suppose you've already touched on this, but on a day-to-day basis, then how do you, so say for example, you are craving a peanut bar or whatever it is.
When I get up in the morning, I waken up with an alcoholic mind. Do I say I'm recovered? I waken up with an alcoholic mind. Now, if I don't center myself, and that's as simple as speaking to what I perceive a higher power to be, meditation, breathing. So I do that and centre myself. If I don't do that, Lily, and I run on Louis' will for 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. I'll then, in my mind, I'll say, oh, that Lily's method, oh, that rubbish. That James with that breathing, that crap. See, I'm becoming unspiritual then. Mm-hmm. And when I'm becoming unspiritual, that's when my at the back of the subconscious wakens up, mm-hmm. and then comes to the front and tells me, go and get a big bit of sugar today. That'll help you feel better. So anything that helps me feel better, short term, I will use. I mean, that's when I fall into food addiction.
So then what do you do with the 12-step program? How does that framework?
The 12-step program is that removes my obsession for. So the one that I'm in the now, it removed my obsession for alcohol and cocaine and other anything mind altering, meaning even anything from the doctor that they try and prescribe me for, physical ailments. So my biggie now is sugar. And I feel it's my biggie, Lily, because it takes me back to my childhood trauma. It was my first addiction. Though I don't know that, so it's been the longest. I almost call it like a friend. It's almost with me predominantly day and night, and it can actually dominate my thinking throughout the full day. So this is why I'm going to do this,
this
course on Sunday, which is for 26 weeks. And this will help me through my higher power to rid me of my sugar addiction and be able to be recovered in food and sugar addiction.
So then you have the day-to-day, because what I'm hearing is that you're just aware now. You're awake and you're aware that the mind is saying things that are not true, that the subconscious is kicking in to come back and run the show. And your level of awareness now is at a place where you're like, right, okay, now I can utilize this framework. I can recognize that my thoughts aren't true, that my feelings aren't real, that my behaviors are from the program, irrelevant from where that program came, whether it was inherited or created. It doesn't, you always say it's interesting to know, but you don't really need to know. What you do need to know is where you're going. So the main
thing we heal Scotland is as well, this is a wonderful thing today that I'm open-minded today. So when I seen your movement, and Janice is on the gut, because I have horrendous problems with gut bacteria going back many, many years, I then can use that as well. So I don't only use the 12-step framework. I'll then say, oh, wow, and I'll take what Heal Scotland is telling me. So you gave me great information about Dave Asprey with the fasting.
Yes.
So I've now, I used that for that experiment we did, remember, 3 months ago. Now I'm restarting that again. So I've signed up for Dave Asprey again. So I can pick and choose the things that work for Louis today. Through you.
Tune into what's coming into your awareness.
That's why I'm awake today. So through you, I met a good friend of yours, James. And I seen a comment on Heal Scotland. And I thought, I'll connect with James because I had something else going on in my mind that I wanted to ask him. Now, there's another connection that I found. So I then find out information about cold water swimming and why then I don't have to take prescribed medication for physical problems that I have. So I'm like you, I'm open to the elements. Throw it towards me, give me it, let me read it, give me this information. I'll go with that, I will try that. So James has been so helpful, he's so kind, he's very loving, just wonderful. So these are, I've came to a wonderful, I think age is a great thing as well, Lily.
Absolutely.
I do. I think, is it took you to 53 years of age, Lou, to take all these things on board?
No, well, I say that now. Imagine learning this stuff when you were 15, or maybe even 8, 5. Somebody teaching you at 5 years old how to manage your emotions, how the things that have happened in your past can be released. Imagine learning. That's my big passion.
I believe all that. But the great thing about that, Lily, is we can then tell other people about that.
Yeah.
See, when I speak to children now, I speak to them in a level that they'll understand, but I don't hide anything for children now, whereas their parents hid everything. They can, I mean, they wouldn't even speak about cancer in front of you.
Well, that's right.
It's unlearning all those things, but I love a lot of the things that my granny taught me.
Yes.
You know, do, and I think the affection, the things, but I also look at a lot of things that they taught us. Ancestral shit, excuse my language.
Yeah.
But yes, I wish I could extend my life to over 100 so I could start to do the things.
Well, you can.
Well, you can. Well, funny, I watched a programme about that the other day. I watched Miriam Margulies doing a programme on, she was doing it on looking forward to death. Though she hates the thought of it, but she went to a place in America and they're doing longevity, cold water swimming, getting into the crypto chamber, the diet. Excuse me, they looked fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. She sat in the chair, and God love her because she's got a problem with food, this roly-poly woman, and she was looking in absolute awe. I mean, there was one man in his 80s, I could not believe what he was doing in bars.
Why? Absolutely.
My God.
Well, the thing, age is another disease. The whole aging is another disease. It's not, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm like, I'm going to regenerate this body because I absolutely know, thanks to the neuroscience, the gut biome, and all the other amazing stuff that's coming out, that it's just a case of use it or lose it. And I've not been using it, so I am losing it. So now I have to
cycle. How are you getting on with that?
I'm getting on brilliant with it, I have to say.
I've been watching you every morning and you've been talking about it and I find that fascinating.
It was very much for me the regeneration capacity in terms of the daily nutrition and also the psychological and the social impact, how people treat you when you're doing. If I had been diagnosed with a malignant disease, would people treat me the same as when I just decide to go into a very restrictive, non-social diet? Well, how will people treat me? So there's a whole load of things that are going on. That's why I was like, you know, you're kind of taken out of your normal social circles, and how do people then react around you to that? Do they support you, or do they alienate you, or do they ignore you, or what, you know? So there's a whole thing around it which I find fascinating, and that's why I was like, right, I'm my age, I've done tons of things and I've done tons of fasting, so it's not a challenge, I have to say, really, for me. But it has been locked down, all the restaurants and everything have been closed. I do find, you know, if I'm beside a sushi restaurant or a Thai restaurant, I might be like, But also, I'm only doing it for a certain amount of time. I always say there's two different diets. There's the healing, detoxing, regeneration diet, and then there's the maintenance diet. So I'm on this one right now. It's not a forever thing. So it's just a case of, am I willing to give up certain things for an amount of time in order for this body to become completely whole again? Well, yeah, I'm in the process. Let's see how it works. And it is, what I'm realizing now is it's just for today. And we expect far too much of the body. We can get a phenomenal result in a week. And I do that in my retreats. But really for long-term regeneration, and to generate all our organs and to give the body a chance at full repair, you have to be in it for possibly years, you know, and that is the thing where people are just like, I'm not willing to do that. So there has to be a shift in understanding. But then you go to Joe Dispenza's work and he's doing things in real time, but that also requires a huge level of commitment and understanding. So there doesn't appear to be a real easy way through here. We have to do the work, we have to look at ourselves, and I think, you know, certainly from the Heal Scotland movement, I'm looking at something like the what you described to help people to have somebody directly, you know, that when they're healing, whether it's cancer, whether it's terminal, alleged terminal incurable, they have somewhere to go and somebody that can support them, preferably that's done it already, because I think that's the big thing, isn't it? It's like,
I know who you are. Because if it's their experience, their experience has worked, then I will tune into you right away.
Absolutely.
If it's someone, I'll use an example of a psychiatric nurse speaking to me about alcoholism.
Yes.
I will say, are you alcoholic? and they'll say no. Mm-hmm. I think, well, that's like me going to an Asian man for a pizza. So, yes, so I think that's wonderful that, there's people that it's their experience and that experience has worked for them. Then I'll be able to go with you then. I'm on that journey with you. I'm excited with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's strange. You spoke about retreats there, because I have a girl that phoned me the other day about that, and she said, "Louis, is there nowhere that we could go for a retreat?" I says, "Well, there is lots and lots of retreats, but this is a thing." Now, I'm going to throw this out there, and possibly people that will listen to this who are in fellowships will be pissed off. But this is my truth. Any spiritual retreat that we have went on with fellowships are absolutely wonderful. The monks that allow us their places and the nuns are fabulous.
It's beautiful there.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Nunro Abbey up at Haddington with the Cistercian monks. I have never seen food addiction quite like it at these retreats.
Really?
Frightening. So when the girl was speaking to me the other day, and she's obviously knows about the food addiction side of it that nobody speaks about in the fellowship. They just ignore it.
The addiction, isn't it?
They ignore it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can be sitting at 22 stone and they're ignoring it. But that's their journey. And I said, we need to look for somewhere, because Anne-Marie said, I would love if we could get somewhere that we would just get healthy food for a week. We could immerse ourselves in our programs, go for walks. And I thought, well, we need to find a place like that. I now have found that place.
Yes, exactly.
So there's another thing for me, Lilia. That's today, my higher powers directed me and you. That's my thinking together.
Yes.
So there now I know that a group of 10 of us can come to you. Absolutely. As a retreat. Yeah. We know we're going to get good food. We know at a certain time.
Wild medicine.
I wanted to speak to you about that, but that's another thing, because I don't know if you would. But you know there's funding for that?
No, but we'll talk about that again. We'll
talk about that again. Each time I see it on Facebook, I think, well, I need to tell her about that. Yes, because that fascinates me as well. Mm-hmm. And see, foraging fascinates me. So I remember quickly living in the Isle of Col, and I sat on a charity board, and we had a forager chef come to the island. I mean, the things you find out, it's unbelievable. You mean I can eat that? Yes.
It's incredible.
Cook with that.
Nature is putting it up through the ground for us at the right time and the right places. It is.
And Janice is a total mind source.
Absolutely.
I could spend a few weeks with Janice, actually.
Maybe you will too.
So I would love if we could use that opportunity to come and do the retreat healthily and get that feedback. And that's it. So that's another positive thing in our journey. Yeah. And there as well, isn't it wonderful how we can come together?
Totally. We need to
come together. We need each other. Absolutely. We can look at James and his Vortex Centre. We need James. Mm-hmm. We actually need each other.
Absolutely.
And that, for me, is a very spiritual thing. It can make me very, very emotional. But I won't cry, I promise. I had a day yesterday about something else. Nothing to do with me, but for somebody else's journey. Just wonderful. It's absolutely... You won't know what you've done for me today. You really don't. That's why I've sent you and Janice wee messages now and again on Heal Scotland, because I don't think the women actually know what they're doing for people.
I was saying that to Janice yesterday. I said, you know, but her information is just, it's gold dust, and it's critical at this time to get it out. So listen, as it is, thank you for the information you've just given us, and we will be creating things in the future together, I've no doubt about that, to help heal Scotland. So thanks a million, darling, for your time and your you've cleared a lot of things up in my head, because I definitely do want to have a very structured support network for people that are healing, as I say, in Scotland and beyond. I call it Heal Scotland because my idea was there's 5.4 million of us. It's a small place to start, and we've got all the tools here to help us do it. All we need is a shift in perception and it will be done. And then
I have joined a few people from abroad on it.
Aha, great. Aha, absolutely.
I joined.
It's a global concept. But the idea was, if we can prove it in Scotland, then others are going to pay attention and take notice.
Yes,
and then but the message is the same. Yes. We are one.
That's a wonderful word, we.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
We. Exactly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, darling. And have a great weekend. And I'll
have a fabulous weekend. And I'll let you know how I got on Sunday at this other gig.
Oh, I'm very intrigued to hear about that.
We'll catch up about the book. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ciao.
Bye-bye. Ciao.